I was getting ready to read my Bible this morning, and the Lord gave me a message for Sunday school. I was going to go back to Daniel and finish that, but the Lord said, no, not doing that. And so I worked on a message this morning. I just got this. That's the notes I have. You guys know me. I normally have a bunch of notes, but so turn with me to Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35.
That's on there now. Do forgive me. I accidentally left my Bible at work, so
I get it. It's nice that you have it at work. I used to bring mine there, and I got in trouble bringing it, but.
For a second, I thought you were going to rip my head off like a chicken.
No. No, I understand. Jeremiah 35. You got there, Eric?
I thought you said 38.
Jeremiah 35. And so I'm going to pray real quick. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for bringing the people here or here. I just ask that you be with Sam as he's in his training. Watch over him. Bless him, Lord. Help him. Help him to keep that witness. Be with us the rest of this day as we go to the house of God, Lord. And be with those that are sitting in the pews. Be with me as I go to the jail today. May we minister to their heart. And thank you so much for what you've done and are going to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Jeremiah 35. We're going to start in verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, so we see this is coming from God. This is what the Lord is saying. This is not what man's thoughts are. This is what God is going to tell us. Verse 13, it says, thus saith the Lord of the hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. He's telling them, man, why aren't you listening to me? You know, I give you instructions. I tell you what to do and you're not hearing me. Okay, and let's go on to verse 14. It says, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding that I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. And so God is getting on their case because they're listening to what man has to say and they're not hearing a word God has to say. They're refusing it. They're rejecting it. But they'll take somebody who will come in and they'll say something and they'll do what that guy says. They'll be obedient to it. And God says, why aren't you hearkening to what I have to say? If I'm so important in your life, then why aren't you listening to me? But you'll listen to any man that comes along your way, any man that can tickle your ear, give you his thoughts, but you won't listen to me. God's upset about that. He's not happy about that. He's God. He wants us to listen to him. Do men have wisdom? Yes. Guess who gives them that wisdom? God gives them that wisdom. Okay? If it's not lining up with your Bible, if it's just what some man thinks and he can't prove out of his Bible without taking things out of context, there's an issue. Okay? That's man. Okay? We don't want to learn about what man has to say. It's obvious to a duck that man could not help me in my life. Okay? I was an absolute mess. I mean, I was tore up from the floor up. Whether it be all the hatred and bitterness I had in me, and psychiatrists and psychologists, none of them were able to help me. Jail, prison, never helped me. Rehabs, mental hospitals, none of that stuff helped me. So my help was not going to come from man. And your help in here is not going to come from man. Okay? We need to seek out what God is trying to say, not what man has to say. Hey, I'm your Sunday school teacher. Should you listen? Of course you should listen. But if I'm not coming out of that Bible the way it should be, then you should not listen to me, okay? You should be in prayer over that kind of stuff. And it goes with anybody. So here, let's go to verse 15. It says, I have sent also unto you my servants, the prophets. He's sending people for you to listen to. He says, I keep sending them and nobody's listening, okay? And he goes on and he says, verse 15. I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings and go not after other gods to serve them. And you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Okay, there's two things that's going on there. They're not inclining their ear to God. They're more worried about what a man has to say. They're inclined to what that man has to say. Their ear is not inclined to what God has to say. And so therefore, what's hearken mean? Hearken means to do, to listen, to go after. You know what? They're not doing that. They're going after man. So neither are they listening or doing. Okay? James gives us a warning. Don't just be a hearer of the word of God. We know that person is just hearing the word of God and not being a doer. Okay? And that's what he's talking about here. I give you all this stuff. All these things are going to give you freedom, happiness, peace, and joy. I tell you to do these things, and you don't do them. But you'll go and listen to what a man has to say? He said, I sent prophets. Okay? He's sending pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers. He's sending all these people this way, and nobody's listening. They're hearkening unto man. Their ears are more inclined to hear what man has to say than the word of God. And that's going to get people in a lot of trouble. Okay? Verse 16 says, because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them. But this people hath not hearkened unto me. Verse 17. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon the all inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. Verse 18. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath and commanded you. Therefore, this saith the Lord God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Okay? He says, you're going to keep listening to all these people. You're not going to listen to a thing that I say. You're not going to want one person to stand in front of me. That judgment. He's talking about that judgment right there. You're not going to want to stand before God if you're not doing what he says. If you're not listening to what that Bible says, if you're not doing what it says, if you're not listening to the Spirit of God, what it's telling you, he says, you're not going to want to stand before me. You're not going to want to stand before me. Man has wisdom. If you're listening to a preacher or a pastor or something like that, they have wisdom. But if that wisdom is not coming from God, then all you're doing is listening to a man. And I'm here to tell you today, man can't help you. As much as I would like to help the people in this room, I can't help you. Yeah, I can be an ear for you and I can pray for you. And if God gives me some wisdom to help direct you in your life or whatever, that's about as far as it goes for me. But God, his word, that thing sitting on your lap, that thing that you have at work, okay? And I'm glad it's at work. I'm glad you can have it there. Because there's a lot of places you can't have that. You can call up that Bible and tell you to bring it home. Like when I was working at McDonald's, it's against the rules and regulations for any religious, any kind of talking about it, any kind of paraphernalia, anything. Okay? So it was forbidden to bring that to work. Okay? A lot of places are like that. Because people don't want to hear. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Romans 1:28 says they don't like to retain God in their knowledge because their deeds are evil. Okay? The less people think about God, the less they have accountability in their own minds. They do not understand that God is still going to hold them accountable. But if you keep God out of your mind, if you keep him out of your thoughts, you keep him out of your way, the less you think of him, the more wayward you go. Because you're thinking, oh, I got away with that. You haven't got away with nothing. What's up, Randy?
Call me 9-year-old whatever, but
okay, knife.
What you just described kind of violates the whole freedom of religion thing of not being able to bring your Bible to work kind of thing.
Well, they see, corporations can get away with that kind of stuff, okay? They have that, where it's a clause in their, a Muslim person, lady's going to come and work, could she wear a hijab? Yes, she can wear a hijab, but she can't spread her, what she has, you know, her belief and stuff, okay? They'll allow you to have, I can be a Baptist in there, okay? But I just can't go around telling people, hey, man, you know, Jesus loves you. Can't go around doing that kind of stuff. They call it propaganda. That's what it's called, okay?
A place of work is like your own house.
That's right, yeah. Okay?
You're taking you out.
So, yeah, that's right. They own it. That's their rules. And it's not discrimination. They're just telling you, please don't do it here. Okay? If you get caught, you can get fired for it. All right? And that's just how they do. And that's all religions. It's not just Christianity. That's all. They're really strict on all of it. So, anyway, I want you to turn with me to Mark 7. And I want to show you another picture of people listening to man and just... Not have nothing to do with God, and how they end up turning out. Okay, Mark 7, and let's start in verse 6. It's Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and he said, answered them and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, and as is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of who? Commandments of men. That's what they're teaching. You see that? They're teaching commandments of men. And I'm going to tell you today, churches today are teaching the commandments of men. They have forgotten about the commandments of God. They have forgotten about a holy God. They have forgotten about the one who died on the cross. And they're teaching what man. They're teaching doctrine of men. They're teaching commandments of men.
Okay? And that, why do you think we have so many people who are sitting in church pews that claim to be saved and they're lost and you can see it in their life? Why? Listen, for the first 6 months after my salvation, I tried to take my life and make it my pastor's life, my life. Okay? I was listening to the commandments of man. And God said, no, Dale, got to get you out of that. I want you to listen to me. I want you to know and understand what I have for you and your family. Okay? Again, you guys have heard me say it before. We have similarities and convictions, but I don't live like my pastor lives. He doesn't live like I live. God has a certain protection for me, just like he has a certain protection for him and his family. And if you have a family and you have a family, God has that. Sure, we have some similar convictions, okay? That's just how it is. That's what God does. It's the proof of Spirit of God living in you. But you know what's going on today, Eric? There's not a lot of common convictions in churches anymore. I don't have a lot of common convictions with most Baptist churches. There's a few out there, Vernon's and such like that. But anything outside of that, forget it, man. We don't have the same common convictions anymore. It's been let go. Why? Because people are listening to the commandments of men, the doctrines of men. And that's a wrong thing. So let's go on here. And it says, they honor me with their lips. Their heart is far from me. Verse 7, howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For number 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold fast the tradition of man, as washing of the pots and the cups, and many other such things you do. And verse 9 says, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God. Why? That you may keep your own tradition. That you might keep your own tradition. You're rejecting what God has to say. God, listen. God says that he's worried about the weightier matters, the, you know, truth and peace. I'm trying to think of the word now. I can't think of it. Okay? And he's saying, yeah, the law. The law is going to show you that you're lost. Okay? And then after that, that's it. Okay? We're out of the law. Now we're in our faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved through him. But so many people want to grab onto this man's tradition, what this man says, what this man does. That's not such a bad thing in certain cases, but they're using it for doctrine. They're using it to teach the people in the church, okay? That they're not, they're taking and replacing the Word of God. Even those King James Bible-believing churches, they may have that Bible sitting in front of them in the pulpit and so on and this and that, but you know what they're teaching? NIV life. That's what they're teaching. Why? That's the commandments of men. That's a they've taken away what God. Here's what the pastor said it best. Bible preaching. Preaching of the Bible to most people is just a decoration in the church. Programs and, you know, doing this and doing that and having this for this and having that. He said that's what their whole life is based on. Being a good, I call them churching. They know how to church real well. The only thing they don't know how to do is become spiritual. Okay? They know how to church wonderfully. They look great. They can do things well. They can run things in decency and order. But you know what they don't have? That Bible, the preaching of it, is just a decoration they hang. That, without any programs, without hardly anything that we have in this church, there are people and families' lives that have been changed forever and eternity by the preaching of the Word of God. To them, that's not important. A spiritual relationship with God is not an important thing. Okay? And that's a shame. And that's what he's talking about here. You've rejected the commandments of God because you want the commandments of man. It's a satisfying of the flesh. And you know what? It's hard to hear preaching sometimes. Man, it tears you apart. It hurts, man. But you know what? That's what's going to change. The Word of God. It's like a two-edged sword. Isn't that what it says? It's going to slice and cut. You know what? After that, it's the healing. The healing. God had to bring me to a point, guys. Man, I'm telling you. I think I told you this last week. That whole week being in that birth canal, man, it was one of the worst weeks of my life. I could have did 10 prison sentences than have to face what God had to show me about myself through that week. Why? Because he was cutting, tearing. But you know what it says, Eric? There's a balm in Gilead. Okay? And that can be healed. There's no way I would think today that I could stand up here and not have my past, not for what I've done to people, but for what people done to me, that would not be an issue in my life ever again. You couldn't convince me of that. You couldn't pay me and tell me, Dale, you don't have to have that anymore.
You see, I live in forgiveness. Not because of the commandments of man. Because of what God says. Because of his healing.
Okay?
And so, let's go on. Verse 10.
For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth or curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profit of me, he shall be free. So here's what they're teaching. God says, honor your mother and your father. Well, here's what they're doing. They're going to go and they're going to tell their mother and father, listen, by whatever money I give you, by whatever help I give you, by whatever I do for you, I'm your gift. They think they're being set free from that honor on their mother and father. You know what God calls it? What did it just say? Corban, a curse. All you are is a curse to your parents. You really think you're honoring your mother and your father by doing those things? He says, you're a curse to them. We are not their gift. I am not my mother's gift. Okay? By the things that I do for her. Being a gift to her and honoring her are totally two different things. Loving your mother and honoring your mother are totally two different things. Understand that? And if we think that we have it right, God says you are a curse. So what they're doing here is they're taking the word of God, and with their own mind, with their own commandments, with their own flesh, they're saying, we can do it this way and still be good with God. We're okay. We're free from that commandment of honor thy mother and thy father because I'm a gift to my mom. I'm a gift to my dad because I pay them rent or I do this or I do that. No. The honor in your heart is so different from that. That's not honor. That's not even a love. You're doing it out of what? Out of what? Out of a work. You're not doing it out of love. Those are totally two different things. Love is the sacrifice of yourself for somebody else. But if you walk around thinking your gift to your parents and stuff, that's not a sacrifice of yourself. He says they're a curse. You see, so they're taking the very thing of what God says, and they're twisting it and turning it. And that's what's going on in the churches today, guys. That's why it's important that we don't listen to everything man has to say. Okay? And I'm not saying you don't listen to your preacher or so on, but you need to verify. Okay, verify what's being said. Okay, and then not only that, I'll be with you one second. Not only that, not only verify, but listen. What is being said? What is being told to you? What is it?
Just to rewind a little bit, where do people get off thinking they're a gift, quote unquote, to their parents?
You'll be surprised at how many people walk around with that attitude. Well, I've done this and, I've done that and they still treat me this way and still treat me that way. Did God say there's a stipulation of how they're going to treat you? Did he say that or did he say honor your mother and your father? Well, David treats me this way and David treats me, is there a stipulation on that? Well, my mother, is there a stipulation on honoring your mother and your father? You see the difference? Does that make sense to you?
I'm trying my hardest to keep up on that.
Here's what you're doing. You think because you're trying so hard to let things go with your mother over the things that she's done in your past, you really think that's honoring your mother, and it's not. You're so far from honoring your parents, it's crazy. Honoring your mother and your stepfather is those things are gone. There's no stipulations on honoring your mother and your father. God didn't say, well, honor your mother and your father only if she or only if he does. That's not what that Bible says. You show me once in there where there's a stipulation on honoring your mother and your father. And let me say this. He says, if you honor your mother and your father, your days on earth will be long. Why? Because if you can deal with your mother and your father, you can deal with anybody. Okay? But what do we do? What do we do, Randy? Well, I'm trying to forgive my mom. I'm trying to do this. And God says, that's not honor. That's your work. That's not what I told you to do. I didn't command you to do that. I commanded you to honor your mother and your father. I commanded you not to, well, I'll honor her if she can see this or if she can see. No. That is so far from honoring your parents. It's insane. Okay? Honor is this. When I walk up to my mother and I approach her, if things in my head are going, well, because my mother said this 10 years ago, or she done that to me when I was a child, then I'm going to think this way about her. Am I honoring my mother? Not a bit. When I approach my mother, if I'm going to honor her, all that stuff that was done to me,
regardless if it was physical or if she said stuff, when I walk up to my mother to honor her, none of that's going to be in the forefront of my head. None of that's going to be in my heart. It's not going to, you know why? Because all that stuff does is make you react to them by what you're feeling. You're only reacting to what the way you feel. That's, you think that's honoring somebody? It's not honor at all. Okay? When you go honor somebody, if I was to honor Eric, because he's a soldier of the United States military, but yeah, I have bad feelings about what the military does and maybe what he had to do. Am I honoring that man? I am not honoring that man. It's just a work. It's just, it sounds good coming out of my mouth. Isn't that what Jesus Christ just said? He says, you say you honor me, your lips say it, but your heart is far from me. That's what he just said. And he's talking about honoring your mother and your father. Yeah, it sounds real good, Randy, don't it? But how far away is it from your heart from honoring your mom?
Can't even tell at this point.
That's right, okay? And how do I know that? Because I've been through it. God showed me this verse about myself. Oh, Dale, you really think you're a gift to your mom? It sounds real good, Dale, that you're forgiving your mom and you've done this and that. He says, you're honoring, you think you're honoring your mother, but you, he says, you know, your heart's far from it. God tore me out the frame over this verse by 5 or 6 months ago.
Also, Dale, the reason why I asked, coming from the mind frame parent, oh yeah, you're a gift. Why ain't I complaining, having to get after you left and right? Yeah, you're a gift. Calling naive, whatnot, I'm just coming from that standpoint. As far as the whole, you think you're a gift? Not.
No, and being a gift, this, we really think that we're trying to honor our parents because we do something. Because us. Because you're really, in your circumstance, you're really trying to work hard on getting past some things in your past with your mom. That's not honoring your mother. That's your feeling. You're working that, okay? That's not what God is talking about when he says honor. When God says to honor your mother, that's not even going to be in the forefront of your mind. If it is, you're not honoring, okay? You're missing it, okay? And we think that we're the gift. We think that we know what we're doing. We think that we are really honoring our mother and our father, and it's not an honor, okay? When you honor somebody, you have a clear mind about them. You have a clear conscience over them. And when you go up to them, the things you say and do are because you want to, not because... See, a lot of people, what they'll do is go, they have to work themselves up to be able to go say nice to something nice to somebody or so, whatever, because it's not in their heart to do so. But we'll take that, and that's why I just honored that person. Or I just showed that person charity, even though it was a forced work, even though it was something they had to build themselves up for, okay? And Jesus Christ says, no, that's a curse. That's not honor. You didn't show anybody charity. It's a curse that you've done. It's not anything that he's not happy with that. And so let's go on, okay? I don't want to stand that. Verse 12 says, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Okay? He says, you've taken what I said, and you've twisted it into your own little thing, and you think that what you think is what I've asked you to do, and it's not. Okay? And man, churches are full of it today. Churches are absolutely 100% full of it today. Of people listening and twisting the word of God into what they think, to what they believe. God forbid if I ever get myself caught up again. And I'm not saying, I'm just going to say something here. This is why I don't get myself caught up in dictionaries. I don't get myself caught up in, what's those other things called? Commentaries and all that stuff. Because all that is somebody's thought, what they think. Okay? You really want to know the Bible, if it's really a desire in your heart, you'll get in and find all that by yourself, okay? And so, I'm not saying you can't go read a book on whatever, but be careful because that is somebody's thoughts, okay? Pastor's got a very good book on soul winning, okay? He backs every bit of it up with verses and everything else, okay? Go in your Bible and check it. Does it line up with the Word of God? Okay? That's his thoughts on soul winning. Is he right? You know he is. But not everybody that writes that is. Okay?
There's many people who claim that they have good books out there, and you read just the beginning of it, and you can see right off the bat, just right off the bat, you're like, whoa, okay? So anyway, Acts 5. Go to Acts 5. Acts chapter 5. You falling asleep, Eric?
No, I'm just...
Tired?
Yeah.
Acts 5. Acts 5, did I write down the wrong one? No. Okay, here we go. Acts 5, 28. Saying, did we not straightly command that you should not teach in his name? These are the Pharisees telling them you cannot teach in Jesus' name. This is a man. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29. Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
You don't even know how many churches and, I mean, how many things people have to be prepped up in the churches today. Oh, you know, you really shouldn't say this. You really shouldn't teach that. Or you really, you know what? If I go somewhere and I'm going to preach something, or if God has given me a message, I'm going to listen to him. I'm not going to listen to what man says, okay? And you know what? Sometimes that makes people upset. It gets them mad. But who's more important that we listen to? Who is it? Is it God or is it man? This is it. That's where everybody has everything messed up today, is we're listening to a man all the time. Christianity does not want to hear from God. Here's God right here. You want to know what he has to say? It's all sitting here right in your Bible. But who wants to listen to that anymore? I don't care if you're King James, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-breathing, Bible-spitting, fire-eating, whatever you want to call yourself. If you ain't listening to what God says and letting go of your traditions, because that's what churches are made up of today, are traditions. And traditions is not salvation. Work is not salvation. These things cannot earn your way to heaven. Okay? But it's by Jesus Christ. It's by what he's done. His convictions. By what he says. Hearken unto me. Incline your ear to me. So easily, even as a Christian, so easily can I incline my ear to people. Okay? And, you know, Lord showed me and my wife some stuff about ourselves and that for the last few months, we've really turned God down and had the world up. Okay? Just being honest, when you say that, that pricked me in my heart. I told my wife about it. She understood right away. That we took and we turned God down and turned the world up. And so now we got to dig our way out of it. Because what were we doing? We're listening to man. We think that we're okay. We're full of pride. We're puffy. Like the apostles in Mark chapter 9. The man comes up and says, can you cast these devils out of my son? And they couldn't do it. You know what Jesus Christ told them later on? Some of these don't come out by prayer and fasting. Hey, you guys, you forgot about me. You're not doing that in your power. I gave you the power to do it. But you want to be all prideful and think that you don't need to pray or fast or do any of that stuff. That's why them devils didn't come out. That was us. Okay? And God had to wake us up to that, Eric, and he used that for me and my family when you said that. He used it. Okay? So be attentive. Listen to what's being said because it might wake you up. It might get you somewhere. Okay? Daniel, did they ring the bell? Mm-hmm. All right, let me know if they do because I cannot hear it. Daniel.
You still got another 3 minutes to go.
Good. I'll try to make this quick. Daniel 3. Anyway, you guys know Daniel 3. I'm not going to really read it all. Here we have Nebuchadnezzar, all his princes and his captains and his judges, Daniel 3, verses 1 through 7. And here we have all those in rule, all those in power. What do? They toss God away, and they're listening to who? All the rulers and the princes and the governors. So they don't want to hear what God has to say. And once we get our leaders into that position, where they go ahead and turn their backs on God, the rest of us are in trouble, okay? Because that's what happens. And the churches today are filled to the brim with people who are going to go ahead. And these guys are supposed to be shepherds for us. They're supposed to lead us and guide us and direct us and help us with our spiritual lives and so on and so forth. And they've turned their back on God, okay? And it starts with authority. It starts with those who are in leadership. It could be the song leader. I mean, the songs that they could start with. And the little compromise here, the little compromise there about this pastor and so on and so forth. That's where it starts. And then guess who gets it? We do. And next thing you know, we find ourselves bowing down to false idols, like it says in Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says they start playing that music, and next thing you know, we're bowing down to false gods, false idols. Why? Because we listen to God? No, you listen to God, you're not going to worry about bowing down to that stuff, okay? God is going to help you to see and hear Him. He's going to help you turn that world down and turn Him up. Turn it up, it won't hurt you. I didn't even get a chance to read my Bible today because I got up and I meant to. I get up early to do that, but the Lord gave me a message. And so I like hearing from God. I like turning Him up. He needs to be louder than me. He needs to be louder than my pride. He needs to be louder than the people. He needs to be louder than the man. There's got to be points and times when I'm facing things or going through things that I got to hear Him and not me. You guys ever go through things and you struggle? Well, maybe I should do this, or oh, you know you shouldn't do that. But yeah, maybe I should. Okay, listen, man, God's going to guide you and direct you. You're going to have to choose the right one. You're going to have to hear. What do you want to listen to? Yourself? Okay? I'm going to try to get this one in. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 13. I should be able to get it in. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day they remain at the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. We see a perfect picture. Paul's teaching here that these people are still listening to what a man has to say. Even though Jesus Christ came and fulfilled, they're listening to what man has to say. They're not listening to what's going on, the new what Jesus Christ has done, what doors He's opened, okay? They're still looking back because their minds are blinded. Verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart because they're trying to listen to man. And that veil, listen, Jesus Christ lifted that veil. It's over with. But guess what? Man, person, people are listening to man. And that veil is still over their heart and they can't see it. Their minds have been blinded. They don't understand it because they're looking at man. They're looking at the traditions of man. And even as Paul calls it, they're looking at the doctrine of man. Man has his own doctrine outside of God. And that's why that veil's over the people's heart. And why we have so many lost people in churches today. Because that veil's over their heart. They have blinded minds. Okay? God can't get in there and do what He needs to do. He's not sure. When people try to get shown things, they don't want to see that. It's too painful for them. But let's go on here. And I'm going to finish this here. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When you're looking at man, when you're going after man and you're going after what he says, that veil's over your heart. But it says when you turn to the Lord, he'll remove that veil. Okay? He'll remove that veil. And verse 18, and I'm going to close with this. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass of the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What happens there? When they turn away from hearing what man says, they get saved. And they guess what happens when they get saved? They start getting conformed to His image. Okay? When people get saved, you're not going to stay the same person you've always been. There's going to be a change in your life. And it says that you're chosen to be conformed to His image. Imagine that. Imagine if God saved me, Tim, and left me the same old person I was. This is what people are doing today. They're claiming salvation and have zero change in their life. But you're telling me God lives inside that? Okay? God didn't save you to leave you the same person. He saved you to transform you into the image of His Son. That's what we got saved to. So we're going to become more and more like Christ and less like ourselves. Okay? So man's going to teach you one thing. God's going to teach you another. At least hope that you got that out of this message this morning. It says, don't listen to man. Listen to what God has to say, okay?